once again to Health Tips from Janet. And what we're talking about are higher risk groups for nutrient deficiencies. Certainly on the website, you can find my recordings for specific nutrient deficiencies and what those symptoms might be. And now let's talk about the groups of people who might be at higher risk for nutrient deficiencies. I just want to remind everyone that I am a Florida licensed nutrition counselor. And so if you find yourself in any of this risk group categories and you have questions about it, you can leave me a message at naturaldocradio.com. And within 24 hours, we will get back to you with the answer to your question. We'd love to hear from you. So once again, if you'd just like to leave a comment at naturaldocradio.com, you can do that as well. And the other thing is we would really, really love it if you could tell your friends about naturaldocradio.com. Okay, for today's discussion, the higher risk groups for nutrient deficiencies, what I'm going to start with is vitamin A. It's very interesting because particularly children as a group are at risk for vitamin A deficiency. And so when we think about all of the vaccines that our children are exposed to at very, very early ages, vitamin A being a critically important aspect of your immune system, very important to keep your children's vitamin A levels up. People who are dealing with a chronic illness, a diagnosis of something that is ongoing and has the appearance of symptoms that are in a chronic category. It's very interesting because there have been certain health studies that have shown more than 40% of Americans are not getting enough vitamin A. And some of the issues that might be associated with vitamin A deficiency are vision issues. You think about how many people out there who are dealing with deterioration of their vision, possibly different diagnoses of, say, macular degeneration, glaucoma, cataracts, and just in general, let's say poor night vision and deterioration in general. Vitamin A is a critically important issue when you are talking about protecting your DNA. So the ability of your body to replicate cells properly, that's part of your genes, your DNA. I talked about proper immune function. The other aspect of it is if you've been told that you are at borderline risk for being diagnosed with anemia, if your red blood cell count is low, if you find that you're just not able to recover very easily from blood loss, very, very important to focus on vitamin A. More and more of the multivitamin formulas you will see have beta carotene. Beta carotene has to go through a conversion process in your body in order to actually fill the need for true vitamin A. So I tell people you really do not want to rely entirely on beta carotene or a carotene complex. And keep in mind, a carotene complex would be much more beneficial if you were to use that as a support to antioxidant status and ultimately vitamin A status. very, very important for women of childbearing age that they possibly are considering pregnancy. Very important to keep a support, a true vitamin A support system in place, because vitamin A, very, very important for healthy development of the fetus. If you're diabetic, you are absolutely not able to make the conversion of beta carotene into vitamin A. So very important for you to use a true vitamin A supplement as part of your overall nutrient support program. A lot of times I mentioned if you're in a risk category for possibly developing anemia or your low red blood cell count, many times you'll be told, well, take B12 and folic acid. That's very important to support the status of your red blood cell profile. But the truth of the matter is you need vitamin A as well. For B12, so many of the seniors are dealing with an issue of fatigue. The changes in digestive abilities mean that from your food, it is a difficult situation to get enough B12. So seniors who are counting on their diet to supply the B12, it isn't able to be optimized. Your B12 levels can't be optimized from your diet alone because of changes in your digestive system. So very, very important that you supplement with B12. And so if your primary care physician is offering you B12 shots on a regular basis, excellent, excellent approach to maintaining proper B12 levels. If you want to supplement with B12, you want to look for methylcobalamin, dibenkazide. You really don't necessarily want to use cyanocobalamin as the B12 supplement of choice. Once again, if you're choosing to use supplemental B12, very important to think about sublingual B12 as the preferred source to really maintain your B12 levels. And when you are supplementing with B12, it's an issue to maintain proper levels of folate in your body. And there are different lab tests that you can focus on in order to determine what your need for B12 is, your need for B12 and folate together in order to properly offset the negative effects of homocysteine in your blood and other blood characteristics that put you at greater risk for heart disease and stroke, for cardiovascular disease. If you are taking prescription drugs that lower stomach acid levels, once again, your ability to properly support B12 levels in your body through your diet, that ability is compromised. So very, very important if you're taking all of those drugs that are meant to possibly reduce acid reflux, heartburn, indigestion. Those drugs really cause a dysfunction in your B12 and folate balance. So very, very important to keep in mind that if you're on those types of drugs, your B12 and most likely your folate levels are going to be compromised. Very important, if you're going to work on B12 and folate supplementation, keep in mind that the preferred form of the folic acid support would be folate, and very, very important to have at least 400 micrograms of the folate. Even better to have 800 micrograms. And depending on testing that would give you your actual folate levels, that would possibly put you in a category for needing 1,000, possibly 5,000 micrograms of folate. If you are dealing with elevated homocysteine, then again, the B12 and the folate and the entire B complex, very, very important for you. And I should mention that if you're supplementing with B12 and folic acid to support that energy situation that so many seniors are dealing with a low energy aspect, very, very important that you do the B complex as a support so you get the most out of your B12, you get the most out of your folate supplementation. Unfortunately, if you're taking those medications, that is seriously going to interrupt your body's ability to properly deal with all of those B complex vitamins. It's interesting because if you are dealing with a deficiency of B12, you may actually have a problem processing certain amino acids. So you might be taking theanine for good sleep or relief of anxiety, and that B12 deficiency can compromise your ability to use other critically important amino acids. So many people, as they age and their immune system, the alert of it, ability of your immune system to deal with the regeneration or reactivation, rather, of certain viruses that have been in your body for years and years and years, and what I'm talking about are shingles virus, that ability to have your nerve function very, very well protected depends on B12. And if you're interested in supporting your red blood cell profile to an optimal level, that ability of your red blood cells to carry minerals and carry oxygen, very, very important. So support your B12 levels, keep it balanced with your folic acid levels, your folate levels. And once again, for younger women who are considering pregnancy, crucially important. I cannot stress this strongly enough because even in the very, very early weeks of pregnancy, you need optimized levels of folic acid as a preventive, very, very well documented preventive for the risk of birth defects. So B12 goes so far beyond the issue of energy. There's so many more aspects of function within your body that B12 is supportive of. And when I'm talking about any of these nutrients, it's so important to understand that you want optimal levels, not, say, the minimum daily requirement. The minimum daily requirement to keep the symptoms of disease away? No, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the absolute optimal function of every cell of our bodies. And how do these cells function? They don't function necessarily best when you're when those cells are overwhelmed with prescription medications or over-the-counter medications. They don't function very well when they are surrounded by the metabolic debris associated with junk food or sweets. So optimizing your nutrient levels, such a very, very important aspect of a healthy body, a body that is able to resist disease and function at optimal capacity. All right, vitamin C. Ooh, we so very well know the connections of vitamin C deficiency and the risk category of those groups that are dealing with the potential for a deficiency. Smokers, we know how absolutely critical vitamin C supplementation is for smokers. So if you are a smoker, keep in mind you want to use vitamin C and the bioflavonoid quercetin so you get the very, very best out of the vitamin C. If you are a smoker, very important to use your vitamin C along with alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid lengthens the time period that vitamin C can metabolize over and over and over again within your body. So alpha-lipoic acid, quercetin, and vitamin C. Very interesting that unfortunately, our children are, 30% of our children are dealing with lower than optimal levels of vitamin C. So you might think about vitamin C in gummies. You might think about the vitamin C in different powders that you can add to your children's water. So important. A whole orange, very, very nice support of vitamin C, and really, truly, any of the berries and an apple, those do have vitamin C. I'm not suggesting that you use orange juice or grapefruit juice or any of the juices, because unfortunately, the sugar content is out of balance and you're not going to be able to truly optimize vitamin C levels when you're doing that with juices. So you're going to be able to fight the oxidative damage that is so much part of our daily exposure. When I'm saying oxidative damage, how many of the kids and certainly teens out there are dealing with cell phones and the radiation exposure of cell phones, the radiation exposure from microwaved foods, the radiation exposure from all of the wireless technology that our kids are exposed to. So the vitamin C has the ability, this ability is enhanced when you combine it with alpha-lipoic acid, of really charging up the beneficial effect of other antioxidant nutrients, so their vitamin E content, their selenium content, the vitamin A that I said was so important for our children and teens. All those antioxidant nutrients do better when there is a supported level of vitamin C. And you're going to, if there's someone listening out there and they're dealing with a diagnosis of low red blood cell, hemoglobin, or hematocrit, maybe they've been told that they are indeed anemic and have been told to take iron. When you take the iron supplement with vitamin C, when there's optimal levels of vitamin C circulating in your blood, then the ability of that iron molecule to actually create a benefit with regard to manufacturing new red blood cells and supporting hemoglobin and hematocrit, that iron does such a dramatically supported job in the presence of vitamin C. So there's the whole concept of a vitamin C flush, and certainly I tell people who are smokers to consider this vitamin C flush. And what you do, I'd suggest a powdered vitamin C for this approach. You take a powdered vitamin C, and I'd say do about an eighth of a teaspoon in water. And then in the next half hour, another quarter teaspoon of the powdered vitamin C, and keep doing that quarter teaspoon in water every half hour. It could be water or herb tea if you want some taste benefit. Every half hour you do that quarter teaspoon of vitamin C. And for even people who are exposed to secondhand smoke, this would be a good recommendation. Do that vitamin C intake every half hour until you induce loose bowels. When that occurs, you really need to calculate how many milligrams of vitamin C you've taken in over the course of those half-hour doses. When you know that dose, then you see what your body's requirement for the vitamin C might be. And you do that on a daily basis, divide that total number of milligrams of vitamin C that you need, put it into divided doses, but get that total number every single day. When you see that there is the development of loose bowels again, you reduce by one dose the total number of milligrams of vitamin C. So over time, what you're doing is just totally saturating your cells in vitamin C, a very protective nutrient, and keeping in mind that when you enhance the status of vitamin C in your body, you're going to enhance the status of the vitamin E as an antioxidant, the vitamin A as an antioxidant, and the trace mineral selenium. And this whole picture of antioxidant function with A, E, C, and selenium is significantly enhanced when you provide alpha-lipoic acid in that mix as well. The next one that we're going to talk about is vitamin D, and those higher risk groups are the people who live in the northern climes. When you're dealing with a significantly reduced ability to have exposure to the sun, then your risk of vitamin D deficient is raised. If your skin is dark, your ability to utilize the capacity of the sun to be supportive of vitamin D status, that dark skin interferes. People who are older than over the age of 60, the elasticity that has been lost in your skin and the capacity of your skin to really take in the beneficial rays from the sun and have that be supportive and interact with the vitamin D in your food, that is reduced. And the statistics are really, really sad. More than 90% of Americans don't have enough vitamin D. What does that translate to? It translates to your risk of catching a cold virus, sore throat, the influenza virus. It reduces your capacity to have a vaccine actually trigger your immune system properly so that you'd be able to resist certain viruses. So you can think, okay, well, I've gone and I've had my influenza vaccine, but if you are seriously deficient in vitamin D, you are in a group where maybe that vaccine isn't going to properly function within your body. So please do a blood work. And you can visit us here at Natural Doc Radio to understand how you can test your vitamin D levels. Your calcium and blood pressure, your calcium level in your blood and your blood pressure rely on having optimal levels of vitamin D. Your immune response, as I mentioned. if your vitamin D situation is less than optimal, your insulin function is less than optimal. It is so protective against the proliferation of precancerous cells. It's so much an issue with regard to so many of the diseases that older Americans are diagnosed with, osteoporosis, cancer, hypertension. So here's a very, very inexpensive nutrient that you can use with ease every single day, and be sure to make the vitamin D available to your children as well. So very important in across the board health issues, as I said, osteoporosis, cancer, hypertension, diabetes. So critical in an overall picture of supporting wellness. And so very easy to determine what your levels are. You can contact us here at Natural Doc Radio, and we can help you test your vitamin D levels so that you know exactly what doses of vitamin D would be required to move you into an optimal level that spells protection for your immune function. Well, here's kind of a nutrient relatively new in the consciousness of Americans, and there are significant groups who are at much higher risk for being very low in vitamin K, and I'm speaking specifically about vitamin K2. So if you are someone who's been prescribed for one reason or another a very, very long-term antibiotic protocol, your vitamin K2 level may be significantly impaired. If you have elevated liver enzymes, and I'm going to say if you have cholesterol levels that have led your physician to put you on a statin class drug or literally any approach that is meant to lower your cholesterol, your risk of vitamin K deficiency is increased. If you have, for whatever reason, some digestive dysfunction that makes it difficult for you to metabolize fat, your vitamin K2 levels are at risk. And we know when those vitamin K2 levels are not properly supported, then instead of having calcium deposit in your long bones, you have a potential for that calcium, improperly metabolized calcium, to deposit in soft tissue, in your circulatory system, in your kidneys, in your joints. So you think about how many people are diagnosed with arthritis or degenerative joint disease, and the truth of the matter is they are deficient in vitamin K, and if they were optimizing their vitamin K levels through supplementation, then the ability of the calcium to be driven into the long bones, they reduce their risk of osteoporosis, they reduce their risk of the pain and discomfort associated with calcium depositing in the soft tissue of your joints, your ligaments, your tendons, the cartilage. And you have what that results in is a swollen, painful joint that doesn't flex very well. But if your vitamin K levels are very well supported, then that risk is diminished. It's so important to understand that there are vitamin K benefits associated with properly clotting blood. You don't want too much. You don't want too little. You want it, that blood clotting function, to work properly. There's so many different medications out there that are unfortunately interfering with that and put people at greater risk for spontaneous bleed, a hemorrhage. There's some information being researched now about the anti-cancer ability of vitamin K, and so important from my perspective when I'm talking to people about osteopenia and osteoporosis, that they may know about calcium, they may know about the need for magnesium to balance that calcium, they may know about the crucial function of vitamin D in proper bone maintenance, but they're not necessarily aware of vitamin K2. So if you're a senior, if you've been diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, if you're dealing with arthritis, it would be an excellent support to your well-being if you were to optimize your vitamin K levels. And once again, here at naturaldocradio.com, you can find out how to best go about testing that vitamin K level. And then we've gone A to Z today. We started with vitamin A, and now I'm talking about zinc. I talk to people who are relying so much on the vaccine to protect them during the cold and flu season. But if you were to optimize your zinc levels, your immune system would function so much more efficiently. So I talked about vitamin A supporting your immune system. I talked about vitamin D and your immune system. And the final beautiful finish to that threesome is the mineral zinc. Vegetarians, unfortunately, are in the higher risk category of not getting enough zinc. Women who are pregnant or considering being pregnant, you very, very much need to attend to your zinc levels. If you have that GI discomfort associated with the GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, heartburn, indigestion, any kind of inflammation or dysfunction in your digestive tract, and you might be taking medication for it, that puts you at significantly higher risk for a zinc deficiency. If you have been diagnosed with kidney disease, people undergoing dialysis, their mineral function is ultimately becoming very unbalanced. If you have elevated liver enzymes, you might be in that high risk group for zinc deficiency. It's so important for men. Zinc is one of the substances that are absolutely needed for the formation of testosterone. I talked about immune function. Without proper levels of zinc, your immune system doesn't work the way it is possible to have it work, that you are have the ability to be in a room of people who may be dealing with different viral complaints, and you won't succumb. You may take in that virus, but the presence of the zinc, the D, the vitamin A, protects you from exhibiting full-blown viral illness, even if you've been significantly exposed to that virus. Children need their zinc. And so in a good quality formula for children, you're going to get enough zinc to support them. You want to make sure that you are not merely giving them the MDR, the minimum daily requirement. You want to optimize zinc levels. So if you have a kid that seems to be coming home with every different health issue from school, the runny nose, a cough, a stomach ache, poor quality immune response to what they're exposed to, consider giving a little bit of zinc. It could be as little as 5 milligrams a day. That would do the job for certain children. And if you're providing that zinc content in the multi, you'll see that there is a zinc copper ratio, a very, very small amount of copper in proper ratio to what the zinc level is in that multivitamin. That's a very, very important interaction between those two minerals, zinc and copper. If you want to have the proper ability to get rid of metabolic debris, to get rid of any kind of pathogenic debris, you need zinc. And it is involved in so many different functions within the body that the ability to have very supported wellness, absolutely, depends on the presence of zinc, and you want that zinc, as I said, in proper ratio with copper. So if you have any questions or comments on today's discussion about higher risk groups for certain nutrient deficiencies, by all means, you can reach us at naturaldocradio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I thank you so much for listening.